Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. The message this morning deals with confessing Christ. It says in verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me our Lord." Now, before this, our Lord spoke of persecution, the gospel, that they were going to have to suffer and go through. He assures his disciples of their Heavenly Father's care. I wish we could really get a hold of our Father's care. We would be astounded, I mean, beyond measure, if we could understand and get a hold of. Cast all your cares upon Him. Careth. Our Lord speaks of the minuteness of His care. Very hairs your head. It's how intimately acquainted He is with each one of His children. Right down to the very hair that is on your head. He said they were of more value than His sparrows. More value. He said not one sparrow fall to the ground without your Heavenly Father, without His will, without Him being involved in it, either directly or indirectly. They call His will, His permissive will, His direct will. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground. Do you know how many sparrows died this year? How many sparrows have fallen? Our Lord knew what was coming for them, and that some would be tempted to draw back. Peter, example, he denied knowing the Lord when the battle got hot. 3 times. I don't know the man. We don't know what we will do under great distress over the gospel. I've never been put in great distress. My life has never been put on the line.
Some of them would die
right upside down.
We don't know what we would do, but we do know this. We do know this. We have His promise of care. Promise of care. The man named Hugh Latimer, 500 years ago, preached to Henry VIII, King Henry VIII. Preached a sermon that was very upsetting to the king. Very upsetting. He was ordered to preach again the following Sunday. He was to make apology for offending the king. The next Sunday rolled around. He stood before King Henry VIII. And after he read his text, looked at King Henry, and he started his message like this. He said, "Hugh Latimer, do you know before whom you speak this day? to the high and mighty monarch, King's most excellent majesty, who can take away your life if you offend him. Therefore, take heed, Hugh Latimer, that you speak not a word that may displease the king. But then he considered well. He said, but then I considered well. He's speaking to the king. Hugh, you know from where you've come. You know upon whose message you are sent. Even the great and mighty God who's all present, who beholds all your ways and who's able to cast body and soul into hell. Therefore, take care that you deliver the message faithfully. Hugh Latimer began to proceed with the exact same sermon, except with more energy. He preached the exact same sermon to the king. And the king sent for him and demanded of him how he dared to preach in such a manner. Hugh Latimer fell on his knees and replied, his duty to God first. He had merely discharged his duty and his conscience in what he had spoken. King got up off his throne, walked over to Hugh Latimer, put his arms around him, and said, blessed be God, I have so honest a servant. Hugh Latimer, who do you fear? God? Not long after that, Hugh Latimer burned at the stake. One that, I can't imagine that. But when he was burned at the stake, there was a man named Nicholas Ridley that was burned with him. Both of them were. As they were being ready to be burned, Hugh Latimer looked over to Nicholas Ridley and he said, play the man, Master Ridley, play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out. Be a coward. Let's stand firm. And they burned them at the stake. Burned them. God has promised His care of us. He has said, fear not. Don't you fear them. I'll tell you who to fear. Fear Him who's able to cast both body and soul. You know, God's promised care ought to remove our fear, shouldn't it? He's promised to care for us. Martin Luther said this one time. He said he saw a bird. He said he saw a little bird among the leaves of a tree one evening. And he said, this little fellow has chosen his shelter for the night and is quietly rocking himself to sleep without a care of tomorrow's lodgings, calmly holding by his little twig and leaving God to think for him. Oh, fear not. The Lord said, fear not. There was a man named J. Colros. He said he entered a room where a little blind girl was sitting on her father's knee. And her father had his arm clasped around this little girl. He said, without saying a word or making a sign, he said, I stepped quietly up, unclasped his arm, and lifted the child away. As I took her out of the room, her father said, Louis, you're not afraid. Blind, she couldn't see. You don't know who has you. He answered at once. No, I don't know who has me, and I'm not afraid. For you know. Therefore, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men,
him will I confess before my Father.
I have four things I want to mention. What is it to confess Christ?
Preaching, witnessing, personally.
What is it to confess Christ? Have I confessed Christ? A promise to those who confess Christ and a warning to those who deny Him,
who refuse to confess.
Now, what is it to confess Christ and what is it to preach Christ? Well, He's speaking this to His disciples who are going to go out and preach. And He's telling them, when you go out to preach, that is, confess me, what I'm doing this morning, you confess who I am. Don't you take the edge off of it. You confess who I am. I am God manifest in the flesh. That's who I am. Do not draw back from that.
That one may said to Peter,
you're one of them. No, I don't know the man. Don't you dare do that again. He hadn't done it yet, but this is what he said. Don't do that. It's to confess his person as God. It's to confess his work as the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. And Jesus Christ, now listen, Jesus Christ redeemed everyone he died for. They are redeemed. They are bought. They've been bought with a price. And God shall have them. They will not perish. There is no one in hell for whom Jesus Christ died for. That's not a popular message. I can preach that here. I have been places I couldn't, they didn't want me to come back. I told you about Thursday night. They did not want me to come back. There have been places Brother Henry preached. They did not want him back. There's a time, I think it was one time, they shut the meeting down. Same thing with Rolf Burner. That's not a popular message.
But that's not, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Christ said, you confess me. Who I am, what I've done, and where I am now.
You read the book of Acts. Their constant message was Jesus Christ is risen. Him you have taken by wicked hands and crucified, but God raised him from the dead. And he is seated in glory at God's right hand, and he is the sovereign king, and he rules and he reigns over all things. I say that here, I say that on the radio. I don't say a different thing on the radio than I do here. A different message. I don't say a different message on the radio than I do here. What is it to confess Christ? It's to preach Christ. But here's what it is to confess Christ. Now, first of all, for the person who hears the gospel, deal now with the person who hears the gospel. You sat here, you've heard the gospel. Many of you have already confessed it. It implies a knowledge of Christ. You cannot confess someone you don't know. God is, through the preaching of the gospel, God's given you a knowledge of Christ. There must be a knowledge of Christ given of God for anyone to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And that knowledge comes through preaching. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This is why preaching is so important. Look in verse 13. For whosoever, Romans 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? You can't believe in someone you've never heard of. And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without God sending them a preacher? And how shall they preach? How shall they preach except they be sent, that is, sent of God?
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, the hearing of faith, this faith that comes by hearing the word of God, which is the gospel. That's how faith is created in the soul. The Holy Spirit takes the gospel and He applies it in power to the heart. He gives a new heart and He applies it in power to the heart. And that person believes. That person says, I believe. It implies knowledge. It implies faith in Christ. It's to believe on Christ with the heart. It says there in the same Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What's in the heart is going to come out. Right? What's in the heart is coming out. God's done a work in the heart. That person is going to confess with their mouth. And then it implies love for Christ. Our confession of Christ is more than a religious profession. This is not a religious profession. It is one of love. It is a relationship confession. That's what it is. Personal confession. Look over in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse. Then Philip, it says in, this is Philip preaching to the eunuch, and he's preaching to him out of Isaiah 53. In verse 36, after Philip had preached Christ unto him, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe. See, it's a personal confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. All my heart, Philip believes. Philip, I believe. He didn't just believe some facts. He believed that this man, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And I believe that. And Philip said, whoa, stop that horse, and they got off him. It's a personal confession. And then it's a public confession. You remember that woman with the issue of blood? Made her way through the crowd. He said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. And the Lord stopped. Touched me. He knew who touched him. He knew who touched him. He said, I perceive virtue gone out of me. Who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, look at this throng. Look at all these people. And as he walked by, everybody was touching him. Everybody was reaching out there touching him. But there was only one who really touched him. And he said, somebody has touched me. Virtue went out of me. Turned around and looked, and that woman came forward. She was going to slip out to the crowd. It says that she confessed to him before all, before everybody, why she touched him. It's a public confession. The Lord Lord has no secret disciples. This is not a secret society.
And as a public confession, we openly confess Him verbally, and we confess Him by baptism. That is how we confess Christ. We identify with Him also, not just verbally, but also through baptism. He commands those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. That's an ordinance given by our Lord to do. I tell you what, it's a great honor. It's a great honor in that water. Identify. Great honor. Then it's a confession. It's the confession of a person. He that confesses me, in the Greek it reads like this, confesses in me. And it means this, it is to make Christ the central. Now, listen. It is to make Christ the central and object of our confession. We're confessing a person, not a religion, a person. What it is. Identification with a person. This is my Lord. This is my Savior. This one. This one is my Lord. This one is my Savior. This sovereign. This sovereign. Gives life to whom He will. Passes by whom He will. It's my Savior. My Lord. What was it? Thomas said, my Lord and my, or was it Philip? It was one of those two men. My Lord and my God. And then to confess Christ is to confess, it is to unite with His people. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That we'd be ashamed. Paul wrote in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. At one time he was. At one time he would not identify himself with that man. But after God saved him, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. But be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It's to unite with His people. We confess Him with the mouth. We confess Him in baptism. We confess Him by being united with His people. His body. Being united to the body of Christ. Now, secondly, have I confessed Christ? Have I confessed Christ? Have I preached Christ? I've been here a year and a half now, about a year and a half or so now. Have I preached Christ? Have I really set forth the Lord Jesus Christ in His person? I believe I have. I believe I have. By God's grace, I'll continue. But this is also personal. Have I confessed Christ? It's a personal question. Have I personally confessed Jesus Christ? Have I personally owned Him? Owned Him as my Savior. Owned Him as my Lord. Owned Him as my God. Owned Him as my Redeemer. Owned Him as my sacrifice. Owned Him as my all in all. Have I personally done that? Have I really, truly identified myself with Jesus Christ? You know, one time it says they took notice of the disciples that they had been with Jesus. They knew that. They took notice that they had been with Jesus. And then it's a serious question. It's a question with great consequences. I'm really not interested in that right now. Denies me, I'll deny Him. cannot ignore this. It's
the greatest thing that I can do. The greatest thing in my life that's ever happened is the day God enabled me to confess Christ. Really. It's a revealing question. Taken seriously, it'll make you search your heart. I apply this to me. You know, when I read the scriptures, I don't say, well, you know, this one doesn't apply to me. I always look at it. The first application is I always look at it as applying to me before I give it to you. I don't say, well, everyone here's confessed Christ. Let's just pass on that. And then it's given with a promise. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father. Our Lord gives this promise. I will confess him before my Father. He's saying here, I will own him. I will identify before my Father, before God Almighty, which is promise, I'll confess him. It's a mutual confession. He that confesses me, I'll confess him. It's a personal confession. He said, I will do this. I will confess him. I will own him. Confession of ownership. Confession of friendship, it's a confession of brotherhood. He's mine. You know, he's saying here, he that confesses me before men, I confess Christ before you. The radio, and I confess Christ before this community. Important. But it's nothing compared to Christ standing before the Father and confessing John Chapman. I confess him before men, but he confesses me. It is a confession before the greatest person, God the Father. Now, close with a warning. Our Lord gives a warning here in verse 33. Whosoever shall deny me before men, and will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What is it to deny Christ? Well, my first point was this, all of the above. But let me just give you a few things. To deny Jesus Christ, it is not to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching on issues is not preaching Christ. One place said to me years ago, you know, asked me, said, you preach against rock and roll? I said, no, I preach Christ. Do you ever bring messages against these things? No, I preach Christ. Get all the girls that have the boys. Rock and roll, you can turn all that off, you're still going to hell. Christ crucified that saves. And it's the grace of God that would deny ungodliness. The grace of God in you teaches you to deny ungodliness. But without that, you're going to perish.
It's to preach Christ and not issues. To preach
issues and not Christ. That's what it is to deny. Let me get that corrected. Preach it on issues and not Christ. That's denying Christ.
To deny Christ is not to confess Him at all.
It's just not confess Him at all.
It's not to join with His people. It's not to be identified with the body of Christ. That is to deny Christ. It's to deny His righteousness and make one up of your own. To deny Christ is to keep quiet when His name is being slandered.
I wouldn't let you slander my wife's name. I would not let you slander my mother and my father. I wouldn't let you do it. Then the Lord's name, my God, my Lord and my God, my Savior, and His name being slandered. I know we've done it. I know I've done it. I know I've been times I've kept quiet. Thank God that He... But it's to keep quiet. His name's being slandered.
Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, Him will I also deny before my Father in heaven.
There'll be many who say, Lord, we preached in Your name, we cast out devil, we've done many things. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew You. Therefore, I don't confess You before my Father.